Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Odessa American for Wednesday, June 19th, 2024. De La Express Pipeline vetted at public meeting, project designed to relieve Permian Basin's natural gas backup, by Bob Campbell. Moss Lake Partners of Houston held two informational meetings Tuesday in Odessa to unveil their multi-billion-dollar De La Express Pipeline project, on which they hope to start construction in the second quarter of 2026 and put into operation in the second or third quarter of 2028. The sessions were held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. at the Lawndale Community Center in northwestern Odessa, where public interest appeared minimal as almost nobody was there except representatives of Moss Lake Partners and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which must approve the plan because it would cross the Texas-Louisiana state line into Calcasieu Parish after traversing 21 Texas counties. Moss Lake Senior Vice President for Regulatory, Environmental, and Government Affairs, Chris Thiel of Houston, said his company looks forward to completing the line because it would move 2 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas 690 miles from near Red Bluff in Loving County to Port Arthur, and the Moss Lake-owned Hackberry Leakfield Natural Gas Export Terminal in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. It would join the soon-to-be-opened Matterhorn Express line from the Waha Hub near Coyanosa, southwest of Odessa, to Katy west of Houston, which didn't require FERC approval because it's all inside the state. Energy industry spokesmen say the 42-inch diameter lines buried 3 to 5 feet deep in the ground will be greatly beneficial to stabilize the price of gas and get power to consumers. The Dela is named for the Delaware Basin west of Midland and Louisiana. Thiel said the 14 informational meetings his company is holding in Texas this month are to apprise the public, and particularly the affected landowners, what the project's timeline is and what it would entail construction-wise. He said questions and comments may be submitted at 1-877-335-2397 or info@delaexpress.net. The project's website is at delaexpress.com. "We started in East Texas and are working west," Thiel said, noting that the turnouts are much bigger in towns and cities where there is less familiarity with the oil and gas business. "We had 180 people in Huntsville and good participation at Moody and Gatesville." The Lawndale Community Center was decked out with an array of colorful information boards saying, for example, that compressor stations would be built in the counties of Winkler, Midland, Sterling, Runnels, Brown, Coryell, Robertson, Walker, and Liberty. FERC is scheduled to issue a draft environmental impact statement in the fourth quarter of next year after Moss Lake files a permit application in February. The final EIS will be due in the first quarter of 2026 for FERC to issue a notice to proceed and start construction in the second quarter. FERC Office of Public Participation spokesman John Peckerman of Washington, D.C., told the Odessa American that his agency is required by the National Environmental Policy Act to take every possible precaution to mitigate the hazards of leaks and explosions. Peckerman said FERC's role is to review the construction plans and proposed sites where the line would be laid and the compressor stations built and to get feedback from the public. "We want to know what people's concerns are so that those may be minimized and mitigated," he said. Moss Lake Senior Vice President of Projects, Eric Carmichael, said it hadn't been determined how thick the walls of the pipeline will be or what type of steel will be used, but he said his company will deal only with the most reputable engineering firms and construction companies. Police video shows shooting, by Kim Smith. Video surveillance obtained by the Odessa Police Department shows two murder suspects dragging the 65-year-old victim into his house moments after one of them shot at him multiple times. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a shots fired call from the 1800 block of Newcomb on Friday, and when they arrived, they saw bloody drag marks leading to a house. The officers heard yelling inside the house, detained two people, and found James Francis Johnson dead of a gunshot wound to the neck, the report stated. One of the detainees, Braden Scott Roop, 18, told the officers without prompting, "I shot him," and after being advised of his rights at the police station, he told investigators he shot Johnson with a rifle in an argument over their living arrangements. Video surveillance showed Raup and a 16-year-old girl running out of the house toward Johnson and Raup shooting four times at Johnson, the report stated. It then shows Raup getting back into the house as the girl goes off camera to where Johnson's body is. According to the report, while off camera, another gunshot can be heard, and the girl comes back into camera view and runs into the house. The pair are then seen dragging Johnson's body into the house. Raup was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of murder and tampering with the human corpse. The girl, too, was arrested on suspicion of murder. Raup remains in custody on surety bonds totaling $225,000. The girl appeared before a judge Monday and was ordered held in the juvenile detention center. The grass is always greener. Permian Basin Sod looks to provide service in Odessa, by Nathaniel Miller. The grass may be greener on the other side, but you can't compare lawns if there aren't any to look at. That's the problem Mike Benavides encountered working as a landscaper and irrigation specialist, the nursery in Odessa where he would purchase plants and other materials when out of business, making it harder to provide services for his customers. He could have made purchases at one of the nurseries in Midland, but living anywhere in West Texas and away from the closest nursery, Benavides was looking at weeks before a new shipment would arrive. So when a family friend with a trucking company made a comment about just picking up Benavides' orders, the idea for a new business was born. "Before you knew it, I had a lot of landscaping buddies placing orders," Benavides said. "Most of those guys would order three or four pallets, and we would pick them up. It just grew from there." Located at 1314 East 7th Street, Permian Basin Sod lets landscapers and homeowners order items such as turf, grass, and plants. A second location is scheduled to open at 2329 East 2nd Street and offers additional materials such as 23 rock varieties for xeriscaping. Benavides founded the business in 2020, and orders continue to increase as new housing is built in Odessa. According to U.S. Housing and Urban Development, more than 4,500 new homes were needed by 2021. Houses put on the market are listed for about 20 days before being placed in a pending status, according to the housing website Zillow. Homeowners, Benavides said, make up half of his orders, as families are looking to modify to adjust to the weather. "Out here in West Texas, we're always worried about water restrictions," he said, "and a lot of homeowners don't want the maintenance, so they'll xeriscape the front yards and then put down sod and trees in the backyard where they're going to spend most of their time." As business continues to grow, Benavides said he plans to continue providing services to Odessans. "We opened this store up because a lot of the work we do here is in Odessa," he said, "and we'll do what we can in Odessa because that's where we're from." Wildfire damages hundreds of structures in Ruidoso. Residents flee with little time to rescue belongings. By the Associated Press, Santa Fe, New Mexico. A wildfire swept into the mountain village of Ruidoso in southern New Mexico on Tuesday, destroying or damaging hundreds of structures after residents fled under evacuation orders with little time to rescue belongings. Ruidoso City Councilor Greg Corey said he learned during a Tuesday briefing by wildfire incident commanders that 500 structures had been damaged. It was unclear how many homes were engulfed by the fast-moving flames in Ruidoso, a village of 7,000 residents. "The fire is out of control, but I've heard of no injuries or fatalities," Corey said during a brief telephone interview from Clovis, New Mexico, where he and his wife and grandson arrived after driving about 3 hours Monday evening from Ruidoso. They were among hundreds of Ruidoso residents who fled for their lives through traffic-clogged downtown streets in the normally pastoral vacation destination, as smoke darkened the evening sky and 100-foot flames climbed a ridge line. Christy Hood, a real estate agent in Ruidoso, said Monday's order to evacuate came so quickly that she and her husband, Richard, only had time to grab their 11-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter and their two dogs. We don't have clothes or a toothbrush, she said. We truly don't have anything. Police were going up and down the streets telling people to drop everything and go, she said. As we were leaving, there were flames in front of me and to the side of me, she said. And all the animals were just running, charging, trying to get out. They headed out of Ruidoso, but heavy traffic turned what's normally a 15-minute drive into a harrowing 2-hour ordeal. It looked like the sky was on fire. It was bright orange, she said. Honestly, it looks like the apocalypse. It was terrifying and sparks were falling on us. On social media posts, Ruidoso officials didn't mince words. Go now. Do not attempt to gather belongings or protect your home. Evacuate immediately. As cell phone and internet service faltered, many villagers turned into AM radio for updates. Jackie and Ernie Escajeda were at church Monday in Ruidoso, located about 130 miles southeast of Albuquerque, when they heard about a fire in a nearby community about 20 miles away. They said they didn't think much of it, but by mid-morning, smoke rose above a mountain behind their house, and the smell filled the air. Air tankers were flying overhead, traffic picked up in the small village, and the winds blew strongly through the trees. The couple started watching their cell phones and turned on the radio for updates. There was no getting ready, nor get set. It was just, go, Ernie Escajeda said. They grabbed legal documents and other belongings and headed out. Within an hour, the police department, the fire department, everyone's there blocking, barricading the roads to our area, and telling everybody to leave. He said, thank God we were ready. Earlier Tuesday, the couple got a call from friends who are on vacation in Utah but have a home in Ruidoso that they've been told was destroyed, Jackie Escajeda said. They lost their home, she said. There's only one home standing in their whole little division that they live in, so there are a lot of structures lost. We have no idea if we're going to have a home to go to. Public Service Company of New Mexico shut off power to part of the village due to the fire, which was estimated to be about 22 square miles with no containment, forestry and village officials said Tuesday morning. Accountant Steve Jones said he and his wife evacuated overnight as emergency crews arrived at their doorstep and dense smoke filled the Ruidoso Valley, making it difficult to breathe. We had a 40 miles per hour wind that was taking this fire all along the ridge. We could literally see 100-foot flames, said Jones, who relocated in a camper. That's why it consumed so much acreage. Amid highway closures, many evacuees had little choice but to flee eastward onto the Great Plains and the city of Roswell, 75 miles away, where hotels and shelters quickly filled. A rural gas station along the evacuation route was overrun with people and cars. I've never seen so many cars in one place. It was total chaos, said Hood, who took shelter at a church in Roswell with her family, sleeping on air mattresses. Several hundred families have arrived at shelters and hotels in Roswell, said Enrique Moreno, director of Roswell Community Disaster Relief. The Walmart parking lot is packed with people in RVs, he said. Every single hotel in Roswell is filled to capacity right now. We go to the gas stations and we see just a bunch of people hanging around their cars. New Mexico has grappled in recent years with a devastating series of wildfires, including a 2022 blaze caused by a pair of prescribed fires set by the U.S. Forest Service that merged during drought conditions to become the largest wildfire in the state's recorded history. That year, a separate fire consumed 200 homes in Ruidoso and resulted in 2 deaths. On Tuesday, 2 fires menaced Ruidoso, a high-altitude vacation getaway nestled within the Lincoln National Forest near amenities including a casino, golf course, and ski resort operated by the Mescalero Apache tribe. The nearby horse racing track at Ruidoso Downs said its facilities were safe in a Tuesday morning post on social media without responding to phone calls and messages. Beyond the track, animals and livestock were moved to the New Mexico State Fairgrounds in Roswell, including 5 horses that arrived Monday night, as well as 4 llamas, according to Leslie Robertson, the office manager. We're getting a lot of phone calls, so we're expecting people to head this way, she said, noting robust donations of hay and feed. The South Fork fire started Monday on the Mescalero Apache Reservation, where the tribal president issued an executive order declaring a state of emergency. It was burning on tribal and U.S. Forest Service land within areas surrounding Ruidoso. Wind-whipped flames advanced rapidly on Ruidoso. Free seat inspections. There will be a free car seat and booster seat inspections from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. today at the Odessa Fire Department at 2110 Pembroke Street. West Texas Super Show set for Saturday. Showbiz West Texas, in association with Que Buena 106.7, is excited to present the West Texas Super Show on Saturday, June 22nd, at the Ector County Coliseum. This will be an action-packed day of automotive excellence, live performances, and family-friendly entertainment. Advance adult ages 13 and up. Tickets are $35 and can be purchased at showbiztickets.com. Children under 4 are admitted free, and tickets for children aged 5 to 12 are $15 at the door. The car show is scheduled from noon to 7 p.m., with car hop at 2 p.m. and awards at 7 p.m., followed by live performances by N.B. Ridas, Keith Nieto, and Los Rieleros del Norte from 8 p.m. to midnight. The West Texas Super Show will feature over 100 cars on display, showcasing a variety of styles, from classic cars to custom builds. Attendees can look forward to thrilling car competitions, including Car Hop and Best in Show categories, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Some featured cars include Skandalak from Midland, who just won a Best of Show luxury at the Low Rider Magazine Car Show in Albuquerque on June 2nd. Living Proof from San Angelo. Malo 57 on display for the first time in Odessa. Rotten Apple 61 returning to car shows after a 3-year hiatus. Cars will be coming from all over the country to earn titles that can lead to competing for world titles. Throughout the day, more than 50 vendors will be on site, offering a wide array of shopping opportunities. Special meet-and-greet sessions with car model Georgia, Javier Shorty Ponce, and El Chivo of La Honda will provide fans with a chance to interact with their favorite personalities. The excitement continues into the evening with live performances by renowned artists. Headlining the concert lineup are N.B. Ridas at 8 p.m., bringing a mix of Latin hip-hop and R&B. N.B. Ridas are sure to energize the crowd with their popular hits and engaging stage presence. Keith Nieto at 9 p.m., a rising star in the Tejano music scene, Keith Nieto brings a fresh and dynamic performance style. His blend of traditional and contemporary influences makes for an unforgettable live experience. Los Rieleros del Norte at 10:30 p.m., this legendary Norteño band has captivated audiences with their authentic sound and timeless hits. Known as El Poder del Norte, Los Rieleros del Norte have been at the forefront of the genre for decades. Avid director heading for post at STEM. With a variety of experience under her belt, Amy Anderson is heading to STEM Academy to become its Dean of Teaching and Learning. Anderson is currently Ector County ISD's AVID Director, a post she's held for 6 years. Her official start date at STEM is July 1st. She was a leader on a pre-kindergarten through 6th grade campus, and in her current role, she is able to see the student journey from pre-kindergarten to even post-secondary. About 775 students go to STEM Academy in grades kindergarten through 12. I'm excited about this opportunity. Although I've never had quite this type of role, I've had experiences in all the grade levels. I'm excited to put that experience into action. Both of my girls attended STEM. My oldest attended 5th through 8th and then transferred to OCA, Odessa Collegiate Academy, by her choice. My youngest attended 5th through 12th and graduated there in 2021, Anderson said. Anderson said she loves to build up and coach teachers, which is included in her role at STEM. I have the AVID elective teachers that we work very closely with, but then we work with all leaders and all teachers throughout the whole district with AVID, so I'm excited about bringing that expertise to STEM and growing it because UTPB is an AVID campus as well. They do AVID for higher ed, she said. In her time with AVID, she's loved networking across the nation and seeing the impact the program has on students. Because STEM Academy is kindergarten through 12th grade, all in one campus, the kids don't have to make the transition of moving from elementary to middle school in another location. There's typically a decline in their performance just because it's a huge transition for them. They're having to get familiar with all the different ways, but at STEM, there's a unique opportunity because they're all there, and it's all under the same system. The leadership there, Shannon Davidson and Candy Sykes, determined that we need to have a system that works best for our students. I'll be overseeing teaching and learning kinder through 12th grade, Anderson said. Anderson has been with ECISD as a full-time employee for 24 years. Previously, she substitute taught for a year, and before that, she was an after-school math teacher. She was also a student at ECISD. I always say I've been with them for my entire life since I was five, but they've only paid me for this amount of time, Anderson said. She added that it will be nice to be on a campus again to have a more personal connection to students. Right now, I get to hear about it a lot. I visited all 40 campuses, but I am a part of my AVID team, but not necessarily part of a campus. It will be nice. It will be a change, though, too, so it'll be a transition back, Anderson said. What she loves about STEM as a parent is that they are always looking for ways to improve the student experience. They're very student-centered. They have a growth mindset, so they're always looking at that student experience. They always try to get ahead of the curve. Students have a chance to earn college credit and have a college experience as well since they are on the University of Texas Permian Basin campus. An Odessa High School graduate, Anderson has a bachelor's in mathematics and a master's in educational leadership, both from UTPB. I love and feel called to build those around me, whomever that is, so I am passionate about that. I look forward to being there on a campus with those that I'm building. I've had the opportunity here. I work with a small team with just two other people here at the district's level with me. So I've done that there, I hope. I look forward to doing that at a larger scale on a campus. STEM Executive Director Shannon Davidson said they are thrilled to welcome Anderson. Amy brings with her an expertise in leadership and instructional practices. She is an innovative thinker and is enthusiastic about this new adventure. She has been a part of the STEM community for many years, not only as an educational patron, but as a parent of former STEM students. She is a wonderful addition to our STEM team, Davidson said. Civics B winner announced, St. John's Places. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation on June 15th held the 2024 National Civics B in Texas, an initiative aimed at encouraging more young Americans to engage in civics and contribute to their communities. Tashvi Wadwa from Manville Junior High School was named the winner of the Texas State Finals, hosted at the George W. Bush Presidential Center by the Civic Trust of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. In recent years, American civics knowledge has fallen significantly, with more than 70% failing a basic civics literacy quiz. At the same time, 79% of 8th graders score below proficient in civics. Hillary Crow, Vice President of Civics at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, said in a news release, "Through the National Civics Bee, we aim to reverse this trend and inspire a new generation of Americans to be civically engaged and active in shaping the future of our communities and our nation." 15 finalists from local competitors across Texas advanced to take part in the state-level competition. Students participated in a live quiz event and answered questions from judges to test their civic knowledge. Tashvi Wadwa from Manville Junior High School took first place, followed by Roshni Karunamurthy, Taze Junior High School, and Elijah Munoz, St. John's Episcopal School, for second and third places, respectively. The competition's MC was Andrew Kaufman, Director of Communications and Marketing at the George W. Bush Presidential Center. The judges for this year's competition were Sarah Heppala, staff writer at the Dallas Morning News, Jessica Saywell, project manager of Citizen Travelers and Strategic Initiatives, and Janie Schultz, Dallas City Council member, District 11. Wadwa impressed the judges with her compelling, well-researched, and data-driven argument for the necessity of public transportation in Pearland while providing practical solutions to address the economic and logistical challenges of implementation, the release said. The finalists and top winners received various prizes, including $1,000 cash for the first-place student. In addition, the first-place winner will get a chance to travel to Washington, D.C. and compete amongst other state winners in the inaugural nationwide competition on November 12th. For more information on the National Civics Bee, visit nationalcivicsbee.org. The Civic Trust is a nonpartisan educational initiative of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation focused on elevating civics as a national priority with programs that advance and promote civic knowledge in schools, workplaces, and communities. Odessa American Obituaries. Henry Leister Jackson, Jr. Odessa, known by many names, Cosmo, Hightower, Action Jackson, Too Tall, and his self-proclaimed Dr. Jackson, Henry Leister Jackson, Jr. was born to the late Henry Leister Jackson, Sr. and Nanny Lee Jackson on February 10, 1954. And who knew from this moment on our lives would be forever changed? Henry was preceded in love by his beloved parents, Henry Jackson, Sr. and Nanny Lee Jackson, brother Robert Jackson, grandson Andre Wright, Jr. He covered a lot of ground during his life, and his impact will be felt, and his story will be told again and again by those who loved him. Robert Bob Thomas Watson. Robert Bob Thomas Watson, 87, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on June 14, 2024. Bob was born in Anahuac, Texas, on February 1, 1937, to William Franklin Watson and Hazel Watson. Gravesite services will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens on Thursday, June 20th at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, the family wishes you consider making a memorial donation to First Baptist Church Odessa in honor of Bob and Etta Watson. The family would like to thank the staff at Lehman Lusk Sanchez Nursing Home in Big Spring and Cimarron Place in Midland. Crucita Barrera Cuellar, 74, of Odessa, Texas, died Friday, June 14, 2024, in Odessa, Texas. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. June 24, 2024, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa, Texas. Betty Vivian Hoover, 80, of Midland, died Sunday, June 16, 2024, in Midland. Celebration of Life will be held at 10 a.m. June 22, 2024, at Ranchland Heights Baptist Church. Pastor Philip Rutledge is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, June 19th, 2024. Award. Morales wins Memorial Hospital's B Award. In a heartwarming ceremony at Midland Memorial Hospital, Celia Morales, a dedicated patient care assistant from the Total Joint and Spine Center, was honored with the B Award for being exceptional every day. This accolade recognizes and celebrates the outstanding contributions of patient care assistants, PCAs, and certified nursing assistants, CNAs, who go above and beyond in caring for patients. Celia Morales has been a beacon of dedication and compassion within Midland Memorial Hospital, exemplifying the very essence of exceptional patient care. The B Award spotlights the crucial role that PCAs and CNAs play in the hospital's mission to provide comprehensive, quality health care in a convenient, compassionate, and cost-effective manner. Aligned with Midland Health's mission, the B Award underscores our commitment to recognize those individuals who consistently demonstrate excellence in patient care. Through their hard work and dedication, award recipients like Celia Morales significantly contribute to enhancing the health and well-being of the community served by Midland Memorial Hospital. Upon receiving the award, Celia Morales expressed her gratitude, stating, quote, "I am very surprised and touched to win the B Award. There aren't words," end quote. Her unwavering commitment to patient care has left a lasting impact on both patients and colleagues alike. One patient remarked, quote, "Celia is a go-getter. She is an absolutely fantastic member of the MMH staff," end quote. The B Award is presented monthly, culminating in an annual awards presentation each May, where all recipients are honored for their exceptional contributions throughout the year. The hospital invites staff, patients, and caregivers to participate in this tradition of gratitude by nominating a PCA or CNA who embodies the spirit of exceptional care. To nominate a deserving candidate, please visit Midland Health B Award nomination at midlandhealth.org. Midland Memorial Hospital continues to celebrate the extraordinary efforts of PCAs and CNAs like Celia Morales, whose dedication not only enhances patient experiences, but also strengthens the fabric of our healthcare community. Healthcare. Lawmakers seek protections for steward healthcare workers. Boston. A group of Democratic members of Congress, led by Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts, is seeking reassurances that workers at hospitals owned by Steward Healthcare will have their health care and retirement benefits protected. Steward last month said it plans to sell off all its hospitals after announcing that it filed for bankruptcy protection. In a letter to Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu on Monday, Markey said Steward's bankruptcy, quote, poses concerns for the nearly 30,000 workers, including nearly 10,000 in Massachusetts, who rely on Steward health care for their paychecks, health care plans, and retirement benefits, end quote. Quote, we write to ask that the U.S. Department of Labor ensure that Steward workers and retirees receive the health care and retirement benefits to which they are entitled. Workers and retirees must be protected from further harm resulting from Steward's gross financial mismanagement, end quote, Markey wrote. Representatives of Steward did not immediately respond to an email seeking comment on what steps, if any, the company has taken to ensure workers receive their benefits. The Dallas-based company, which operates more than 30 hospitals nationwide, has said it does not expect any interruptions in its hospital's day-to-day operations throughout the Chapter 11 process. Markey said many workers who rely on Steward health care for their livelihood are already facing financial uncertainty and anxiety. In Massachusetts, he said, paychecks to Steward workers were delayed following the bankruptcy filing due to processing delays. Markey and the other lawmakers are asking the Department of Labor to take steps to protect workers, including determining Steward's plan for continuing benefits during bankruptcy, as well as in the event of a facility's closure or buyout, and making sure health claims are paid throughout the bankruptcy process. Quote, although the responsibility for this crisis rests exclusively on Steward and its corporate collaborators, a resolution to this crisis that protects workers, patients, and communities demands involvement and collaboration among federal, state, and local authorities, end quote, Markey said in the letter. In addition to Massachusetts, Steward employs workers in Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas. The letter was also signed by Democratic Senators Sherrod Brown of Ohio and John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, and Independent Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Aphasia Center offers help when insurance runs out. There are many side effects that might come with suffering a stroke or traumatic brain injury, but one that is particularly misunderstood is aphasia. Aphasia is a chronic language disorder that affects people's ability to communicate. It doesn't affect intellect. Quote, they know what they want to say, end quote, said Tina Fields, Marketing and Development Director for Aphasia Center of West Texas. Quote, they just have difficulty getting the message out or in. Aphasia can also affect comprehension of language, end quote. Aphasia most commonly affects those who have had a stroke. According to Midland Health, Midland Memorial Hospital has treated 167 stroke patients this past year. After a patient who has had a stroke or other traumatic brain injury is discharged, they might carry with them a forever changed life. For those with aphasia, difficulty communicating can lead to social isolation, loneliness, and depression. That's where Aphasia Center comes in. Quote, we knew we wanted to offer continued support to this population so they could participate in life again, end quote, said Beth Crawford, co-founder of Aphasia Center, who also works as a speech-language pathologist. Crawford has worked in numerous medical settings such as acute care, rehabilitation, and home health. She would work with aphasia clients but learned that once their insurance determined no more coverage was needed, treatment largely stopped. Aphasia Center was founded to give them longer-term, low-cost help. Quote, we had people who would go through the medical model of service, but their time was so limited, end quote, Crawford said. Quote, we knew we wanted to offer continued support to this population so they could participate in life again. And we wanted to give people the gift of time in their recovery, end quote. Everyone's journey is different, so Crawford says they consider what life situations their members are able to participate in and what environment they're in. Quote, we consider personal identity to build confidence, end quote. The 20 or so members at Aphasia Center get help several times per week and not just in a classroom setting. There's one-on-one help, as well as a kitchen space and garden where they can get practical practice in communicating. The goal is to build communication skills so that when their members interact out in the world, they'll have greater confidence. What should you do if you encounter someone with aphasia? Quote, simplify your language, end quote, Crawford said. Quote, ask yes or no questions, use gestures or pen and paper. Try something other than long, complex sentences. Don't be afraid to ask them if they have difficulty communicating and if it would be helpful if you wrote it down, end quote. And above all, quote, don't shy away from the conversation, end quote. Lifestyle changes can help enlarged prostate symptoms. Benign prostatic hyperplasia, also called an enlarged prostate, is incredibly common, especially among men over 40. While it's not the same as prostate cancer, an enlarged prostate can cause significant quality of life issues. Dr. Scott Cheney, a Mayo Clinic urologist, says there are ways to treat it and reduce the symptoms, including some lifestyle changes. Quote, I like to tell patients that the prostate is kind of like an orange with a straw going right through the middle of it. And as we age, the prostate gets larger and larger. And the straw going through the middle gets compressed by the tissue of the prostate, makes it harder for the bladder to push urine through the urethra, end quote, says Dr. Cheney. Enlarged prostate symptoms can include frequent or urgent urination, a weak urine stream, and the inability to empty your bladder. Quote, I see men who get up at night to pee, and they get up again and again. They get poor sleep. It can really affect their lifestyle. So they're always looking for a restroom wherever they go. They can't drive long distances because they have to stop and urinate very frequently, end quote, says Dr. Cheney. If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Dr. Cheney first recommends a few lifestyle modifications. Quote, you can tell a man to avoid excess fluids. Some men, they don't realize how much fluid they're drinking. The more fluid you drink, the more often you're going to have to urinate. The types of fluids also matter. So if a man is drinking a lot of caffeine, a lot of alcohol, especially before bed, that can cause nighttime issues with urination, end quote, Dr. Cheney says. He says talk to your healthcare team about your concerns.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the HEB grocery ads for the week of Wednesday, June 19th through Tuesday, June 25th. Save up to $1 per pound on fresh Hill Country Fair bone-in split chicken breasts, value pack, now 99 cents a pound. Save up to $1.62 per pound on your choice of fresh boneless pork loin or tenderloin sold whole in the bag, now $1.77 a pound. Save up to $2.02 per pound on your choice of fresh Texas-style beef ribs, boneless shoulder, USDA select, or ground beef, 80-20, Texas size pack, now $3.47 a pound. HEB premium bacon, 12 ounces, assorted varieties, $3.97 each. Save up to $3 per pound on HEB wild-caught large Texas Gulf shrimp, 31 to 40 count per pound, previously frozen, now $4.97 a pound. Save up to $3 per pound on fresh HEB wild-caught North Atlantic cod loins, now $12.97 a pound. Your choice, red cherries or large yellow peaches, $2.47 a pound. Juicy apples, 97 cents a pound. White seedless grapes, $1.47 a pound. Tomatoes on the vine, 97 cents a pound. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Meal Simple by HEB croissant sandwiches, assorted varieties. HEB soft drinks, 12-pack of 12-ounce cans, assorted varieties, 2 for $7 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2. Nabisco Family Size Wheat Thins or Triscuits, 11.5 to 16 ounces, or Ritz Crackers, 17.8 to 20.6 ounces, assorted varieties, 2 for $7 with yellow coupon, in-store or online, when you buy 2. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 Little Debbie red, white, and blue cakes, 7 to 16.2 ounces, or select family packs, assorted varieties. Must buy 2. Save $2 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Hot Pockets, 5-pack. Assorted varieties, now $4.27 each with coupon. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Dawn Platinum Plus Power Wash Dish Spray, 16 ounces, or Platinum Easy Squeeze Dishwashing Liquid, 24.3 ounces, assorted varieties. HEB Meal Deal. Save more than $10 in free items with yellow coupons, in-store or online. Buy 2 Philly's Frozen Raw Texas White Peeled and Deveined Farm-Raised Shrimp, 36 to 50 count. And get 3 items free with yellow coupons, in-store or online. HEB Texas Heritage Smoked Sausage, 12 to 13 ounces, assorted varieties. HEB Texas Style Charro or Borracho Beans, 15 ounces, assorted varieties. And HEB Chopped or Premium Salad Kit, 6.8 to 13.4 ounces, assorted varieties. Located in produce. Excludes HEB Organics. Combo Loco. Buy 2 HEB pasta sauce, 24-ounce assorted varieties, and get free with yellow coupon in-store or online HEB pasta, 12 to 16 ounces assorted varieties. Save up to $2.58. Buy 2 Kellogg's Rice Krispies, 18 ounces, or Honey Smacks cereals, 21.2 ounces, and get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, Kellogg's Cocoa Krispies cereal, 19 ounces. Save up to $4.98. Buy HEB flour tortillas, 20 count. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, HEB Yellow Mustard, 8 ounces. Save up to $1.28. Buy Tabasco Pepper Sauce, 5 to 12 ounces, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, HEB Long Grain White Rice, 3-pound bag. Save up to $2.48. Buy HEB Bakery Gourmet Brownies, 4-count, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, HEB Bakery Gourmet Cookies, 6-count, assorted varieties, with a limit of up to $4.98. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 HEB Ridged or Wavy Potato Chips, 7 to 9 ounces, assorted varieties. Now $2 each. Must buy 2. Buy HEB Paper Bowls, 12 ounces, 70 count. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, HEB flavored tortilla chips, 10 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $2.98. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, Clean Freak, or multi-surface cleaners. Assorted sizes and varieties. Excludes travel or trial sizes. Save $5 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $25 of Native deodorant, body wash, hair or skin care products, or Native hand or body lotion. Assorted sizes and varieties. Save $3 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Downy Gain In-Wash Scent Booster Beads, 18.2 to 24 ounces. Liquid Fabric Softener, 190 loads. Downy or Tide Rinse and Refresh Odor Remover, 48 ounces. Or Bounce Dryer Sheets, 240 count. Assorted varieties. Save $3 with yellow coupon in-store or online on HEB 24-Hour Allergy Cetirizine Tablets, 30 count, or HEB NasoPro 24 Allergy Relief Nasal Spray, 144 sprays. Save $5 off your basket when you clip digital coupon in My HEB app when you buy $25 of Crest, Oral-B, Olay, Secret, Old Spice, Gillette, Pantene, Head & Shoulders, Always, Always Discreet, L, or Tampax products. Limit one per household. Save $30 with yellow coupon, in-store or online, on Kitchen & Table by HEB 8-quart digital air fryer, black, blue, or white. Buy two handy foil pans, assorted sizes and varieties. Get a third one free with yellow coupon, in-store or online. Save $5 with yellow coupon, in-store or online, on O-Cedar Easy Ring Spin Mop and Bucket System.
Study: OD Survivors Falling Through Gaps. A new study documents lost opportunities to treat drug overdose survivors covered by the Medicare program and illustrates the difficulty of managing chronic pain. Overdose survivors, quote, should be at the front of the line for the full range of medications and counseling and support, end quote, said Dr. Brian Hurley, president of the American Society of Addiction Medicine, who was not involved in the study, published Monday in JAMA, Internal Medicine. Instead, those on Medicare who survived a drug overdose in 2020 were much more likely to later receive opioid painkillers than any medication to treat addiction, and some went on to die of an overdose. U.S. government researchers found 53% of overdose survivors received opioid painkillers, while 4% received treatments such as buprenorphine. Only 6% filled prescriptions for the overdose antidote, naloxone. Within a year of their overdose, 17% experienced a second non-fatal overdose, and 1% died of an overdose. The researchers looked at nearly 137,000 Medicare beneficiaries who survived an overdose in 2020, when the emergence of COVID-19 scrambled drug treatment efforts. The group included about 30% who qualified for Medicare because of a disability rather than their age. About 80% of them had been treated for acute or chronic pain, and nearly half had prescriptions for opioids before the overdose. In some situations, it might be appropriate to continue to prescribe opioids after an overdose, but, quote, these patients should be closely monitored, provided naloxone, end quote, and have plans in place to reduce overdose risk, said lead author Captain Christopher Jones of the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Gaps in treatment for overdose survivors exist throughout the U.S. healthcare system and predate the pandemic, said Dr. Michael Barnett of the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, who was not involved in the new study, but found similar results among Medicare patients from 2016 to 2019. Quote, the health system is very poor at connecting people to life-saving medication after they overdose, end quote, Barnett said. Quote, it's a health system problem. And it's also a problem of stigma and public education that many people may not be interested or may not trust medications for opioid use disorder, end quote. In 2020, Medicare expanded coverage to include methadone to address a longstanding treatment gap. Methadone is the oldest and experts say the most effective of the three approved medications used to treat opioid addiction. It eases cravings without an intense high, allowing patients to rebuild their lives. Medicare still does not cover residential addiction treatment, another gap that should be closed, Hurley said.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, June 15th. Matador acquires Ameredev in $1.9 billion deal. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. After several years of holding onto their portfolios amid low oil prices, private equity firms have resumed cashing out their holdings. The latest is EnCap Investments, which is selling its Ameredev portfolio company to Matador Resources for $1.9 billion. The deal involves a subsidiary of Ameredev II parent and includes certain oil and natural gas producing properties and undeveloped acreage located in Lee County, New Mexico, and Loving and Winkler counties in Texas. The deal also includes an approximate 19% stake in Pinon Midstream LLC, which has midstream assets in southern Lee County. Quote, the next big private equity exit has hit the Permian Basin with EnCap's Ameredev II selling to Matador for $1.9 billion. The deal is the second major acquisition Matador has made from EnCap following its purchase of Advanced Energy in 2023, commented Andrew Dittmar, principal analyst at Enverus Intelligence Research, to the Reporter-Telegram by email. The deal continues a second land grab in the Permian Basin following an initial buying frenzy in 2016 through 2019 as public companies race against one another to secure remaining inventory. That has proven a gold mine for private equity firms that had built sizable positions in the Delaware and Midland Basins, including EnCap. These private firms have seen the value of their assets soar as a dwindling set of opportunities to acquire deals drives prices higher, Dittmar wrote. Quote, the sale of Ameredev looks like another winning deal for EnCap as the company monetizes the position at a good price, including getting around $20,000 per acre for the undeveloped upside. While the acreage contains some very high-quality inventory, its position on the eastern edge of the Delaware Basin may impact multi-zone development relative to assets located to the west, he wrote. For Matador, the company continues to build scale as one of the two principal public companies with the lion's share of their operations in the Delaware Basin, along with Permian Resources, he continued. Quote, with shale maturing and few opportunities to organically add resource, mergers and acquisitions have become the primary conduit for resource expansion. Companies that are not in the market as buyers are likely to become targets themselves as scale becomes increasingly important. Matador appears set on maintaining its status as an independent company and has sought private opportunities to bolster its position that will be a close operational fit in their existing footprint. Building a position of scale is key for achieving operational synergies, including longer lateral development and optimizing midstream infrastructure. Matador should be able to optimize development of the position and coordinate with its existing midstream footprint, including handling any issues from sour gas issues on the asset, he wrote. Following closing of the acquisition, Matador expects to have over 190,000 net acres in the Delaware Basin, approximately 2,000 net locations, production of over 180,000 barrels of oil and natural gas equivalent per day, proved oil and natural gas reserves of over 580 million BOE, and an enterprise value in excess of $10 billion. Ares Energy partners find success in Barnett Project. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Oil and natural gas operators continue finding new resources in the Permian Basin as they branch out from the Wolfcamp and San Andreas plays. One such effort, the Pradera Fuego project in Ector County, is yielding strong results from the Barnett Shale and the Mississippian Interval. Quote, "It's been exciting," Bob Dimmitt, president of Ares Energy, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. Dimmitt said six wells have been placed in production and the drilling rig has just been released from the seventh well, with completion operations set to begin in July. Quote, "These are big wells with initial potentials north of 1,000 barrels per day. Ultimately, they will produce 1.2 million barrels plus natural gas," he said. The wells are located on 17,000 contiguous acres in West Odessa. Not only are they prolific producers, able to flow for quite some time, but the oil cut is in the 80% range, he added. They are a little more expensive, $2.5 million per well for two-mile laterals, but the low water cut reduces water handling costs, Dimmitt said. Plus, the natural gas is extremely rich at about 1,400 BTU. Quote, "We're sandwiched between Occidental, Continental Resources, and Diamondback. Elevation Resources is doing the same thing in Andrews County. Even ConocoPhillips has done a well. XTO has done a well. We're the little guys playing in big boy country," Dimmitt said. Dimmitt also noted that the project is being undertaken with private funding, all from the Midland area. Quote, "Not private equity backing, not institutional backing, all private funding," he said. Royal Energy and its investors have a 5% working interest through a joint development agreement with Ares. Quote, "We believe this play is the next big thing for the Permian Basin. Now the play is catching fire, and a lot of players are recognizing the opportunities and looking to exploit them," he said. Next, Dimmitt said, quote, "We are looking and contemplating marketing of the project early in the fourth quarter through a Houston company that will help sell it to a larger, stronger financial player. Then," he said, "Ares will look at continuing its Barnett development strategy." Quote, "We've cored the Woodford and are very encouraged by it," he said. "Our project was originally intended to be a one-bench play, but now it will be a two-bench play," end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.